anti-war protesters invading Venezuela. What? And we're going to talk to somebody who actually lives in Venezuela to find out what's really going on. That's coming up on today's episode of The Hot Zone.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. I'm still enjoying my vacation here at the farm in West Virginia. But, you know, it's as peaceful as it is here. As a matter of fact, let me just turn the camera around and for just a second and show you how gorgeous it is here, because then you'll really appreciate the fact that I'm actually taking the time to keep making this podcast while I'm on vacation, because this is amazing. I'm out here on the back deck, just enjoying the incredible scenery, perfect temperature, sunshine, birds singing. Okay. But as peaceful as it is here, there's one place where it's not very peaceful, and that's Washington, D.C., out in front of the Venezuelan embassy. See the anti-war group called Code Pink, a bunch of left-wing lunatics, has taken over the embassy. So not long ago, the diplomats in that embassy packed up and left, and when Donald Trump and his administration decided to recognize Juan Guaido as the legitimate interim president of the country, of Venezuela. And so the Venezuelan embassy was empty. So these protesters from Code Pink, for some strange reason, decided that the best thing they could do would be to go and occupy that embassy and try to make a political statement about what Donald Trump's policy is in that region. However, the actual Venezuelans who live in the area weren't too happy with that, and so they came down to protest the protest and have essentially blockaded the entrances to the embassy so that the people inside can't get any food or anything like that. So now there are more protesters on the outside that belong to Code Pink who are trying to throw food over the Venezuelan protesters to their buddies inside the embassy. What a mess. What an absolute mess. So a friend of mine, Barry Holstein, was kind enough on a business trip to D.C. Yesterday to go walk over there and actually get some footage of what that looks like and to actually talk to one of the Code Pink protesters. And I want you to listen to this this interview and see if you can pick it apart as easily as I can.
What's up?
Okay, so my question is, I came down to the embassy, see you guys setting up on the other side. So I'm just curious, what is it that you're doing? Or what are you protesting? Or why are you here, I guess, is the question.
Okay, where do you want to start? So you came down to the embassy for what?
Just to see what was going on. Because you hear a lot about what's going on in Venezuela in the news. Just happened to be in town and wanted to come down and see what was going on.
So inside there are several peace activists who are protecting the building. So we're out here because we're with Code Pink and we're an anti-war organization, and we oppose any U.S. military intervention in Latin America. We know from history that it doesn't end well. We know a coup in 2009 in Honduras created massive instability, led to violence. We saw mass migration of people fleeing violence in Honduras after the coup. And what we see happening in Venezuela right now, where Trump has declared or recognized someone to be president that was not elected president, that is a form of intervention, and it's really undermines democracy. And so we believe that problems in Venezuela need to get resolved through negotiations and diplomacy, because military interventions never end well. Just look at the instability in Iraq. We went there based on lies, and now it's, you know, we saw ISIS grew out of, you know, the remnants of the Iraq War. So we have to learn from our history, and yeah, that's why we're here opposing U.S. military intervention in Venezuela.
Okay. So has there been military intervention already, or there's a concern that there's going to be?
Well, we keep hearing from Trump Department officials that a military option is on the table to resolve the crisis in Venezuela. And so high-level government officials keep saying things like that. So, yeah, there is, that sounds pretty serious. And we know that Juan Guaido is asking Trump for military support. And, you know, I received as many votes for president of Venezuela as Juan Guaido. So, I mean, it's like me saying, Hillary's president. Like, someone come.
No, she actually received a couple votes.
Exactly. So, you know, we believe that Trump is already intervening, and his officials have already put military intervention on the table. So, I mean, sounds pretty likely to me.
Gotcha. So the folks that are on the inside you mentioned, so that's part of your group?
There's members of Code Pink inside, as well as other organizations, yeah.
Inside the embassy?
Inside the embassy. And so, you know, the embassy belongs to the government of Venezuela, and the United Nations still recognizes Nicolas Maduro as the president of Venezuela. And so there's people on the inside there at the invitation of the Maduro government to protect the embassy from being taken over by opposition forces, because people loyal to Guaido want to take over the embassy, and that could also lead to an international, you know, a conflictual situation. And embassies belong to the government of Venezuela. They don't belong to, you know, the Trump administration to give to Juan Guaido.
Okay, so let's break down a little bit about what her reasoning is for why Code Pink decided to put boots on the ground, so to speak, in the sovereign territory of Venezuela, which is what the embassy is considered to be. So first of all, she mentions Honduras and the coup attempt the actual coup in 2009, when the president, Zelaya, was overthrown for basically breaking the Constitution and trying to change the Constitution. And it's widely recognized that what he did at that time was illegal. And so the Supreme Court of Honduras issued a warrant for the president's arrest, because they gave him a stand down order. They told him to cease and desist from trying to change the Constitution. He ignored that order. And so the Supreme Court issued an arrest warrant for the president. And at that time, the military of Honduras then went and arrested the president in his pajamas in his house late one night, put him on an airplane, and sent him to Costa Rica into exile. Now, there was a lot of back and forth at the time about whether or not that whole thing was legitimate. The interesting thing is the Obama administration actually denounced the coup. At first, they were kind of milquetoast about it, but then they denounced the coup. And so this Code Pink protester is bringing that up. Why? What does that have to do with anything? It had absolutely nothing to do with the United States. There was no U.S. intervention in any way, shape, or form. Even, like I say, the administration denounced the whole thing. Okay? So if they're saying that Zelaya, who was a pretty far right-wing figure, should have stayed in power, that kind of goes against what Code Pink even believes. So that doesn't make any sense at all. So she says that they're pretty sure, it sounds pretty sure, that the United States is going to intervene militarily in Venezuela because the Trump administration has said that all options are on the table. Well, this is pretty basic foreign policy. You don't tell your enemies what your intentions are beforehand. So if you plan on, obviously we've been trying to effect regime change in Venezuela by diplomatic means. We have not given any military support to Venezuela or to Juan Guaido. We've only given humanitarian aid at this point. We have not taken the option off the table because it should never be off the table. It really, I mean, if the time comes and it's necessary to use the military, then the military is going to have to be used. But we don't want to do that. And we've made it pretty clear as a country that we don't want to do that. So I'm not sure what Code Pink is really on about here, because the Trump administration is not, you know, sending troops to the border of Colombia. I mean, they're not doing that. And they very likely will not. It wouldn't be politically feasible for them to do so. Now, strangely enough, or ironically enough, the only forcible occupation of Venezuela so far that has taken place has been by Code Pink themselves. Code Pink is forcibly occupying Venezuelan territory. They've got boots on the ground inside the embassy. And so they are doing the very thing that they're saying the Trump administration should not do. She also makes the point that she has received as many votes for president of Venezuela as Juan Guaido. Well, that's a really disingenuous argument, because that's like saying that Nancy Pelosi received as many votes, or that she didn't receive any votes for president of the United States, and therefore she shouldn't be president of the United States. Well, she's part of the order of succession. And when you look at the order of succession of the United States, it goes president, vice president, and speaker of the House. And I guarantee you that the vast majority of these Code Pink protesters would be very, very happy if Donald Trump and Mike Pence were declared unfit for presidency and Nancy Pelosi had to assume the duties of the president. One of the reasons that the Trump administration refers to Juan Guaido as the legitimate interim president of Venezuela is because he's not elected president, but he was elected. He was elected to the unicameral legislative body in Venezuela, which makes him essentially the Speaker of the House, which puts him third in order of succession after the vice president. And so if the president and vice president of Venezuela are in office because of an illegitimate election, which is exactly what the vast majority of the world body admits, even the United Nations admits that the elections in Venezuela, last presidential elections, were highly irregular. And so Juan Guaido would be the right guy in the order of succession to take office. Now, he didn't receive any votes as president, but neither did Nancy Pelosi, and she would be president of the United States in the order of succession if that were to be necessary. So that's a very disingenuous argument. I don't know if she's being intellectually dishonest or if she's just naive, but the bottom line is these people are just ridiculous. The Venezuelan people, Maduro's popularity right now is 4%. 4%. I don't know that there's any leader I've ever heard of in the history of the world that had a 4% popularity rating. And 89% of Venezuelans, according to a recent poll, would like for the United States to intervene militarily to depose Maduro. 89%. So maybe we should listen to Venezuelans rather than listen to whack job liberals who parade around in pink and basically they're just out there trying to get attention. That's what it is. We don't have any major wars going on. I mean, if they want to protest some kind of military intervention, maybe they should be protesting like Yemen or something. Go to Yemen. Go take over the Yemeni embassy, something like that. Because we have been dropping bombs in Yemen. And we haven't dropped any bombs on Venezuela, so go protest Yemen. But, you know, these people, thinking is a really difficult thing. And, you know, the really ironic thing that always gets me about left-wing liberals is that they always accuse other people of doing the very things that they're actually doing themselves. And I think that that kind of says a lot about what I would consider to be depravity. Again, this goes back to my own Christian worldview. The Bible says that when people deny God, that God gives them over to a depraved mind. And that a depraved mind means that they can believe wholeheartedly that wrong things are right and right things are wrong. Dark is light, light is dark, things like that. And so I think the fact that these people have embraced a worldview that says it's true that there is no truth. They've embraced a subjective morality, kind of shows that they're depraved. And when you're depraved, you can look at the situation in Venezuela and say, what we really need to have is Maduro stay in power, because, you know, all these people starving to death and eating their own pets and things like that. That's all Trump's fault. I don't know how you get from here to there, but then again, hopefully I'm not depraved. Now, I did get a chance to talk to an incredible young man inside Venezuela in San Cristobal, about an hour from the border of Colombia. And it took a while to get a hold of him because they don't have electricity very often, but he was able to get during a rare time of having electricity and internet to get a call out to me via Skype. And so I want you to listen to just a little bit of this incredible interview about what's going on inside Venezuela right now.
So I've got Martin Paez. He's coming to us live from inside Venezuela in a town called San Cristobal. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on there. Martin, thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So last week we saw Juan Guaido kind of try to take a stand in Caracas, and doesn't seem like it really went all that well. What are people there saying about that and about the future?
Well, it looks like it's failed. We're hoping that Leopoldo Lopez, who was released from house arrest, would be able to work together with Juan Guaido to top of the government, but looks like it's failed, and Maduro is still in office, and he's still here. And a lot of the regime supporters who have ties to the government, looks like they're jumping ship, jumping the country one by one, but they see there's no hope here.
Like who?
Like Tibisay Lucena. I don't know if you're familiar with the names of people here. She's the head of the Senate who gave false election results.
Okay.
When every time we had elections, she would be announcing that their results. She would give the false information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she left for the Middle East last week and never to return. The wife of Maduro, Celia Flores, she left for the Dominican Republic.
That's substantial.
Yeah. That was quite a surprise.
What about the vice president?
Vice president, Delcy Rodriguez, and her brother, Jorge, they're also planning on leaving.
Mm.
Planning on leaving the country.
Now, what about the top brass in the military? Have you seen any movement from those guys?
They're keeping a low profile. They're hiding in bunkers in Caracas because they have no clue what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to hear the entire interview, you got to go over and subscribe at patreon.com/hotzone and become a patron, of a supporter of the podcast. And then you're going to get extra bonus content like that. Good stuff, so that you can get a better sense of what's actually happening on the ground inside the hot zones around the world. Okay, folks, there you have it. On this episode, we've had two original interviews. This is source material, and it's balanced. We're showing you both sides of the argument, and it is stuff that you're not seeing on the mainstream media or anywhere else. That's the kind of content I'm committed to deliver to you right here on the Hot Zone. And so I hope that you'll share and like the podcast. I saw we were in the top 200 of all news podcasts out there, which for me, I think is pretty good. Yesterday, we were, I think, 169 or something out of all news podcasts. So we're moving up in the charts, and that's because of people like you liking and sharing the podcast and leaving ratings and that sort of thing, leaving reviews. I really appreciate every one of those. They really help, and they're going to help me continue to bring you this kind of content. Also, if you want to support what we're doing, go to patreon.com/hotzone. For only $3 a month, you can get access to our special patrons-only page. You can get early access to some of our content and discussions where you can talk to me directly, and we can talk about what we should do next. So I hope you have a great day. I'm going to go have a great rest of my day here on the farm. We'll see you again tomorrow. Take care.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.